Emergency. Emergency. Emergency.
All right, this is Pure Decking for June the 9th. What year is it?
2015.
I mean, are we sure? Because I keep seeing shit about MySpace getting hacked and, you know, password leaks from 2012 and...
2004, then.
I mean, what, it's Friendster next? LiveJournal, maybe?
My Napster account got popped.
Oh,
damn.
No.
My LimeWire account got owned.
This is a show about stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, and giving up on society. I'm Morps, and tonight I am drinking Blue Moon, Belgian White, and later probably getting into the Red Stag. Are you? I was going to get the little intro sound clips, but then I got drinking beer instead of working the soundboard. What are you drinking?
I'm on water.
That shit's dangerous right there.
I know. No caffeine, no drugs, no alcohol, just pure water. Yes, I'm becoming boring.
Hey, I'm just exercising my Second Amendment rights here, you fuck.
Madman, what are you drinking?
I have an intro now. I'm drinking New Belgian Flat Tire Amber Ale.
Cool. Let's
see. Was that a statement or the name of the drink?
That was the name of the company, the name of the beer, and the type of beer that it was.
And he'll keep saying it until you give him more.
Steady.
Save a tree, burn a book, save...
What are you drinking?
God damn.
Burn the forest. Monkey Shoulder Scotch Whiskey.
So, nice.
That's what I'm starting with. The 151 and the black patch, you know, I got to cut it still, so we're going to cut it with 151 here in a minute, but yeah.
I've nice. Never heard of Monkey Shoulder Scotch.
It's actually really good.
All right, Swallow.
Bring out the gimp!
I'm... worst intro ever. I am drinking more of that homebrew sizer that I made, that honey apple wine.
Has that gotten any better since you...
I know you said
the initial batch was a little rough.
Well, it wasn't rough. It was just tasted a little bit yeasty, but ever since I clarified it with that bentonite, it turned out really well. Enjoying it.
Did you check the alcohol content?
No. I'm still assuming 13, 14%.
Oh, here we go. I found your intro, are you?
You are about to experience a brief simulation of a psychotic episode in a patient with schizophrenia.
Sounds about right.
All right. So, first article up, first thing I kind of wanted to talk about. This behavior out of Microsoft is getting a little bit nuts at this point, you know? So this article is from InfoQ.com. A bunch of people on Reddit were picking apart C++ code they wrote in Visual Studio, specifically Visual Studio 15 version 2. I mean, they literally were writing functions that did nothing. You know, init main, return zero. That's it. That's all that's in the code. And it was showing up way bigger than it should have been. And, you know, with libraries in it, when they took it to the decompiler, that shouldn't be there, including a function called telemetry main invoke trigger. So yeah. They finally picked it apart and got a hold of Microsoft, and let's see, they figured out that the function logs events in the code to ETW, or event trigger windows, so it's going to the Windows event log. It's not a problem. The problem is that ETW can and is sometimes used as part of solutions for remote telemetry. These events are coming from the program itself when either CRT is statically linked into the program, and it's called telemetry. And they even got a hold of Microsoft, and Microsoft said that the code does is trigger an ETW event, which, when it's turned on, will emit timestamps and module load events. The event data can only be interpreted if a customer gives us symbol information, so this data is only applicable to customers that are actively seeking help from us and willing to share these. So, okay, I'm going to stop right there. It's sending the data out. It just might not be, you know, it's just, oh, it has to be interpreted. They have to give us the code, the key to read it. Microsoft is actively adding code to shit that other people write using their tools.
That way they can claim it's theirs and copyright.
I think it's just telemetry. I mean, but even then, that behavior is not okay. If you
Microsoft
don't have it
is
include,
adding spyware to a game I might be writing just to hand out for free, and then people that install it, Microsoft gets to know every time they open up my game.
Like, to me, that's downright malicious. Like, you know, you're writing a program. You don't want extra code added. Like, you don't want this. Like, this is not something that a programmer would ever expect
wanted to make use of this telemetry library, you should have to use an include statement to pull it in. And they actually put out instructions of how to turn it off. In the meantime, users who have a copy of Visual Studio 2015 Update 2 and wish to turn off the telemetry functionality currently being compiled into the code should add notelemetry.obj to their linker command line. So you actually have to go, you know, put command flags in for the compiler not to put their shit in your code. And they're saying they're going to take the feature out for Update 3.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it's apparently not in Visual Studio 2012 or Visual Studio 2013.
I feel like they wouldn't have done it in the first place. Like, obviously they did it to see what the reaction was, and if people didn't notice and bitch about it, they probably would have left it as is. So, the fact that they're removing it for the next update, like, that means nothing to me now. It's just like, you have now proven, again, that you are not trustworthy.
I mean, you know, the Windows 10 update shit is bad enough, right? And don't develop code with Microsoft tools at this point. Shit. I mean,
is that like Arby's poisoning a couple of people just to test the water to see how bad they can make their food before people complain?
Yeah.
Well, and maybe not poison, but
say poison is a perfect analogy.
Okay, so how many of you use Google?
Sure.
Honestly,
here we go.
Not as much as I use,
right?
It, but sure.
Yeah. Okay, so you get tracked there, right?
This is not about tracking.
Your things get tracked. Everything you get, it's getting tracked, right?
Yeah,
that's
with Google. Yeah, Google, I know I'm being tracked, and if I want to avoid being tracked by Google, I can use another service.
Okay.
With Microsoft, I'm using a compiling tool that they don't advertise tracks me, and it's injecting things into the programming that I'm writing that will cause the programming that I'm writing to track someone else. Now, if I wanted it to track them, that would be fine. But if I'm writing, I don't know, Pong, whatever, throwing it up on a website for people to download for free, I should know everything I'm putting into that code. Not just because this may be tracking, but if they're willing to put that in there, what other malware are they willing to put into my code?
And it's really just the fact that they're adding extra stuff to your code without your permission. Like,
I'm so happy. I was worried I was going to have to explain why this pissed me off so much.
It doesn't even matter. Like, yeah, I don't like being tracked, but that's not the point. The point is that they're adding extra shit to my code that I don't want. You know, like, what if I'm writing something that is very sensitive in bandwidth usage, or, you know, like, there's all very, I need to have, like, the smallest size possible, or, you know, there's all kinds of other reasons. It's not just the tracking.
Go ahead with your point, Static.
Yeah. It's never mind. It's not going to matter. You all, in general, are way too paranoid about this stuff, and it's laughable, honestly. Sure, I understand what you're saying. They're adding something that you didn't intend there to be there to begin with. Okay, great. That's fine. That's a valid point. However, you know, it's their software tool that you're using. Number one, Morpsey said don't use it. Okay, so there's one option. The second side of that is you are compiling a program for people to use on their operating system, right? So, you know, of course they're going to want to gather data. Now, if it's malicious intent behind it, absolutely agree that that should be wrong and that should not be the case. However, I don't believe that's what they're doing. They're looking for patterns and trends to try to improve. Sure, they're looking for ways to help solicit more money out of you. What company isn't today? Okay.
If it's they're wanting to keep up patterns with trends, fine. Have me submit my code for their approval before they'll run it on their operating system. And put that straight forward. But you don't inject things into my code unless you actually note it on the product that you're selling me that this is going to help you compile things for Windows. Oh yeah, and by the way, we're going to inject things into your code. If they want to be straightforward about it, fine.
Well, and okay. So take a step back here. We're kind of getting down in the weeds a little bit on the fact that it's called telemetry. My problem is that they're injecting libraries in the code. I at this point, I don't actually care what the library does. It's if they want to give an option to use this kind of telemetry triggering, fine, give me a checkbox. Don't make me have to go fuck with the freaking linker command line. Those things can get hairy as it is. But I don't like the idea that it was hidden. I don't like the idea that, you know, if Microsoft said, if you use the .NET framework, we're going to put these telemetries in there, and if it was even if it was in the fine print, it'd be in the print. The fact that people had to pick it apart on a forum to figure out that this was going on bothers me. That means they were actively not advertising that it did this.
Yeah.
And, okay, it's tracking. And, yeah, if you use anything with the word Google on it, you're getting tracked. Yahoo's doing the same thing. Microsoft now wants to do the same thing. Hell, your cell phones are tracking you. I mean, we know this, right?
A department store is tracking you. You walk in, you pay with, you know, a credit card of any kind. You come back, same credit card. Oop, flag in my system. That person bought something else. They bought this. They bought that. Doesn't matter. Yeah. This is the age of it. All your information is being tracked, period.
Fine. It doesn't mean I want to accept the behavior one. Because if you can inform companies, hey, don't do that. I mean, Microsoft is pulling it out, right? They figured out it pissed people off. They're stopping it. But it shows
on this, it's not as much the tracking. It is they're injecting things into the code.
Deceptively.
It's a lack of choice. And it's a lack of information.
I don't think they're doing it deceptively, though, either. They're not
that
doing
they
it.
Hit it and they didn't inform anybody is deceptive to me.
Go ahead, Static.
I feel this is getting very close to the fact that, you know, we complain all the time about these little kiddies that, you know, are all offended about everything all the time, and yet this is the same thing. This is just the other side of it. You all are offended by a software company doing something. I mean,
no, I don't use Visual Studio. I use JetBrains stuff mostly. So, am I personally offended? No. What drives me nuts is it's an option that you don't have a choice about. You have to go through a command line.
You're not personally affected. The fact that we're talking about it shows you're offended.
Okay, exactly.
But, yeah, okay. Yeah, it bothers me because it's showing a general trend from Microsoft, okay? It's not just that they're injecting shit into Visual Studio. That's bad. Don't misunderstand me. That's bad. Because it's the same behavior you used to see out of malware. A couple years back, a hacked version of Xcode was uploaded to Pirate Bay. Xcode, well, used to be free from Apple. I think you got to join the developer program now to get it. But at the time, it was free. You just, you know, went and downloaded it. It came with the damn operating system. But it was backdoored and rooted, and, you know, you would make an iPhone app with it, and it was inserting crap into the code that you didn't know was there because they had fucked with the libraries. It's the same behavior from Microsoft. They're putting something called telemetry into the code without advertising that they're doing that. And the difference here is, as opposed to it being a, you know, a malware, something obviously malicious, is the official build of the damn build tools.
Okay, hold on one Windows, second.
Well, the complete thought is that you're also seeing with the Windows 10 update, Microsoft is trying to take choice away from its users. It wants you to use it their way. It wants you to be able to put things into what you develop. And that bothers me, yes. Okay, now go ahead.
Okay, so question with that. And I agree choice is valid. Okay, I'm not discounting that. However, let's say it was something other than telemetry.
Okay.
Okay, let's say they actually weren't tracking you, but they had some other trigger there that
okay,
they were
now, to
invoking.
Be fair. This is explicitly not tracking you. This is creating events in the Windows log that can be tracked.
Right. Okay. No, and I understand that. It's not directly tracking you. It can be used indirectly to track you.
Fair enough. Yes.
Okay. So let's say it did something else. Let's say that they were inserting some sort of code function that would allow them to. I don't know. Every time you pressed a button, it logged it in the computer, but it was no tracking behind it. Okay.
Well, this is effectively the same thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Every time you load a module, it logs it. Which,
by the way,
if you're debugging, that's fantastic information to have.
Sure. Yeah. From a bug perspective, great. Yeah. Absolutely. What I'm trying to say behind this is, and the main thing is, this is only a news article, and people are only pissed because this can be used to track.
I disagree.
Well, if they're injecting something in your code, that does affect your code. Could this cause a program that I'm working to just crash?
And not even crash, but like it's just adding like more overhead
to the
program.
Even if it's just bulking up and causing the processors to work harder, yeah, that's wasting CPU time and may make the program less efficient, all of which sucks, especially if you're trying to build efficient code. But can it also cause a program to crash?
Any code, really.
Let me flip around and help Static's argument here. Let's say the library, instead of being called telemetry, was called Graphics Optimizer, and it made all your Windows UI calls run 500% faster.
Awesome. Right. And let's say that library that causes everything to run 500% faster, they do an update, change a colon in it, and now every time I try to run my video game, my computer catches on fire.
Okay.
Is
now,
it possible that a change in the library can cause it to crash?
Madman.
Library in there, then I know that if something goes wrong, what to check. I know to check my code. But if this is adding things to my code that I don't know about, and something goes wrong with my code, how do I know where to look to fix it?
That's a valid point. That's my problem, is that they're changing the compiler versus what I wrote versus what they want in there. Now, to be fair, I'm betting this kind of shit goes on with .NET and several of the other common libraries that are out there. You know, how many people sit down and go through the source code to .NET? Now, Microsoft did open source it, so I doubt there's anything too terrible in there. But, I mean, look at all the different Java or Python or, you know, Perl libraries that float around out there. Well, hell, we had the story a couple of weeks ago that where the JavaScript repo. Shit. I'm blanking on the name of it now. But where the guy pulled all of his functions out, and because a couple
pulled
of
all of
his
modules and people were reposting them.
Yeah. Node.js, thank you. Node is the language, but anyways, doesn't matter. Whatever the repo was, where the guy pulled out his modules and it broke all these very commonly used frameworks. Yeah, again, that's a risk, but you could go back through those frameworks and see all the libraries that were getting loaded and at least have a shot at finding what was wrong, right? or if you're using something where the libraries are downloaded offline, you need specific versions. This is actually very common with a lot of programming where you'll set up a Vagrant instance or a virtual machine or whatever, or even just a separate folder, so you have the versions of libraries you're writing your code to. I mean, early Java programs would actually look at all that and wouldn't run if you didn't have the right Java version installed, even if the code would technically run with other versions. You know, they would actually put static checks in there. So, you know, I'm not saying it doesn't happen in other products. The fact that Microsoft got caught doing it, and then you could write a simple three-line, I guess five-line with the include statements, C++ program that gets all these extra libraries jammed in it, which makes it bigger, and you're right, introduces potential errors. I mean, that's a problem. That's an unintended behavior of the compiler.
Like, for me, like, I do a little bit of coding for work, and, like, I work in engineering department and stuff, and really, like, for me, what pisses me off about it is, like, I don't want another engineer deciding what features are going to be added to my software. Like, because I don't know what decisions you're making. Like, yes, okay, sure, you know, let's say it's the 500% speed increase. I don't really see any downside to that. That should probably just become the new standard. But when you're adding, like, a feature that you might not ever even need to use, and it's basically required, like, if you have to opt out, like, that's just like, okay, everybody's going to have that by default. I don't like that.
Well, I mean, give me a fucking checkbox in a UI somewhere, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's Visual Studio. The thing is full of crazy amounts of property pages. You could have put another one in there without anybody getting upset. Don't make me have to go fuck with the, you know, the linker command line to turn it off.
That's ultimately what I was saying, though, is that you all wouldn't be all up in a tizzy if it was something beneficial to you, but something that's beneficial possibly to Microsoft is what's got everybody riled up.
Well, you know, you may have a point about that. Might be why the article was written. That's not why I wanted to talk about it. I wanted to talk about it because they're injecting shit in code, and that's not cool.
But what if they injected something that was positive?
How do they know it's going to be positive?
I still want to have the option whether or not to use it.
Well, how do they know it's going to be positive if they don't know what code I'm writing or what my program's supposed to be doing?
I don't know, some generic thing. Well, what if they injected something that they added a penny every time you press the A button to your bank account? I'm just throwing something randomly out there. You know what I mean?
That would be awesome, but you know how quickly I'd like the script to press that button for me.
Exactly, but you would like the option to be able to check that on or off? You wouldn't just want that automatically to be done for you?
If it's going to affect my code, then I need to know what's in it. Now, that's something that I would just leave on, and if it's something good, then people will just leave it on. Or most people will just leave it on, because honestly, how many people read the fucking EULA? But it still needs to be listed there if it's going into my program.
I need to play the devil advocate every time with every story. This is a lot of fun.
No, it's great, and you should if you can be the contrary of our group. You are our contrary warrior. I will make you a headdress.
Wait, what? A dress? I don't wear dresses.
Headdress.
Warrior is
a Native American honorary role. Yes. Person in the group that takes the opposite point of view so that the group doesn't become stagnant and you question your morals instead of just blindly accepting them.
Cool.
So, but I mean, also, you know, just to kind of round this out before we close this on and go to the RT story, you know, I mean, yeah, maybe it's a little overly paranoid. You think about the number of people Microsoft's tracking. You think they're going to look at you individually? No, of course not. It's going to go in a database, and either it's going to get queried by scripts or it's going to get queried by, you know, I guess if you ever, I don't know, threaten terrorism on a podcast or something, you might, you'll give them some reason to go look. But, you know, generally, no, they're not, you know, even if they copy it all. So the practical risk is low. It's annoying, and I don't like it happening, and that's why I call it out. But even more importantly, I don't like this direction of just, oh, well, you're using Windows, so you better accept whatever Microsoft says. You can say if you don't like something they're doing. I don't think that's a bad idea.
Well, I'm not sure how much resources are a concern when you're writing a program. Suave, you did say you do writing?
Not that much.
Anyone really pay attention to that, on how much memory usage it is?
Well, no, not so much memory usage, just like, you know, like you can write shitty code that doesn't run very well and takes forever. You can have good, like, streamlined code that works well and everything quickly.
Hey, Madman, on a modern desktop PC, you can be pretty damn sloppy and nobody will ever notice.
Oh, yeah, but like...
If you're on like a Raspi or you're writing code for like a, say, a router or something that is constrained, yeah, every little bit matters.
But like
a lot of industrial code is still being run on stuff designed and built in the 70s and 80s. Is C++ used for compiling any of that?
Oh, well, you're probably not using Visual Studio, or you're probably using, you know, specialty versions of the Borland compiler for that kind of shit, but that's not the point.
Okay, then... My point of it's just making crappy code might be less valid, but I'm still going to stick to it.
But, you know, like, there's even, like, super basic stuff that can really impact code. Like, even if you're doing something, like, really basic in, like, VBA and Excel or something like that, where, like, you have to programmatically insert, like, 500 lines in a spreadsheet, if you, like, cycle through it, do it one at a time, and don't turn off screen update, it'll take, like, 2 minutes to do. But if you, like, turn off screen updating and you have it go through all at once, then it's... goes through in like half a second. So like even today on modern computers, like you still have to, you know, make it well written and actually sense.
Actually, you know, Madman, I've got an excellent example for you on this. I had to write an audit program for where I work, and I generally, when I code this kind of stuff, I write it in Python because I know it's going to run on servers. And no, Python is not the most efficient programming language out there. They're far worse, but it's not. It's certainly not the fastest, but it's what I'm the fastest in when it comes to getting something knocked out, right? So I needed to query a system through their API and compare. Oh, basically, I was comparing two sets of user accounts to make sure that they were turned off in one place, they got turned off in the other, right? Well, this API is so poorly designed that I basically have to make two calls to it for every user. And it takes half an hour to run just because I can't pull in all the data I need in one hit. So something
if it was compiled correctly, it would take 15 minutes instead of half an hour, possibly.
Dude, if I could tell it the fields I needed to pull down and they didn't have a hard cap of 100 accounts at a time, I could probably have it run in under a minute. Or even with the hard cap of 100 counts at a time, if I could just tell it the custom fields I needed, it would probably still dramatically reduce the runtime. And this is code I don't have any choice in because it's what they have exposed. And it's not the same, though, because, you know, we have a choice in who we did business with, and, you know, we could have picked somebody with a better API. You know, if you're writing Windows software, you've generally don't have a hell of a lot of choice when it comes down to using some of the Microsoft tools. There are other tools out there, but if you're writing VB or C Sharp, you're pretty much using the Visual Studio compilers. So I don't know, man. I don't like it, and that's why I'm calling it out. That's all. Next up, this story article is from RT. Civil asset forfeiture goes digital. Yeah, you're going to love this one, Madman. Confiscating cash or property without a conviction or charges is now old hat for law enforcement. Stand by for the electronics recovery and access to data machine, a device that sucks digital money off prepaid cards into police accounts. So you get pulled over, and instead of carrying a bunch of cash, you're carrying a bunch of prepaid like debit cards. They can still take them, take all the money off of them, and transfer the money into their own accounts and use it for civil forfeiture.
The entire argument was that the cash couldn't be tracked and could feasibly have been used in a crime. I don't care how anonymous you try to make a prepaid fucking debit card, you can follow the money.
And the Oklahoma Highway... The Oklahoma Highway... I can't speak today. The Oklahoma Highway Patrol purchased 16 ERADs and began using them last month. In instances where troopers suspect a prepaid, debit, credit, or virtually any card with a magnetic stripe has been used in a crime, they can take the card, slide it through their new machine to generate information on the account, as well as either freeze or transfer the digital funds. Following the same... That's tacky. That's just fucking tacky. RT has a screenshot from their own Twitter account showing their comment on the story. That's just fucking tacky. Following the same principles as the practice of civil asset forfeiture, no person needs to be convicted or even charged with specific offense under law enforcement to deem the property, even in digital form, to be worthy of confiscation. We're going to look for digital factors or different factors in the way you're acting, Oklahoma Highway Patrol Lieutenant John Vincent told KWTV. We're going to look and see if there's a difference in your story, or if there's some way that we can prove that you're falsifying information to us about your business. While prepaid cards are the primary target, the ERAD device was first developed at the request of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security to combat drug cartels. The technology is far-reaching. Any card with a magnetic stripe down to a hotel key is susceptible, and the cards, when striped, are technically being fooled, as the ERAD sends a signal disguised as a regular vendor request so as not to alert the suspect, according to the product's patent. Oh, and this just goes on talking about them a little bit more and how much, you know, apparently they've already seized like $5,000 with them.
The 1994 Bank Secrecy Act should just be repealed, and everyone that voted for it should be shot.
Yep.
Yeah, so pretty much if you get pulled over, they can take your cards out of your wallet and take the money out of your bank account if they think you've done something. That's a little dramatic. I think it's going to be still more of a, the poor guy who gets pulled over. You know, there's always the story of the guy who got pulled over moving cross country and was carrying all this cash or whatever. It's just that, you know, the old advice there was, well, just, you know, put all your money in the bank and carry your card. Well, now they can take your card. I just...
and you know, like, the thing, like, I think you had mentioned before the show here is probably going to be for, like, those prepaid credit cards and stuff like that.
Well, they say in the article, that's the primary target.
Yeah, and you know, you have anybody who has those, like, you don't go buy those for yourself, or at least I don't anyways. Like, those are always like, you know, somebody gives you one of those instead of like a gift card or something. So you're never going to have a receipt. And even if you did buy it for yourself, you're not going to have a receipt. And like, so there's no way you can prove that it wasn't used for a crime.
That's the problem with civil forfeiture is just civil forfeiture. They're not proving that you're a criminal. They're taking your money, and then if you want your money back, you have to prove that you're not a criminal. That's why so few people go through the trouble, because they have to be seizing, one, enough cash to make the court costs worth it, and then seize cash from someone that has enough money to fight the government.
So the solution.
Like foundations that fund
50 bucks
to
here, 25 bucks there. Nobody's going to fight that.
Oh, it's not just 50 bucks. It's usually a couple hundred.
Oh, okay.
There's a simple solution. Have a savings account. Take all your money, put it in your savings account. Your debit card that you're using is tied to your checking account. You have a encrypted cell phone, so that way you don't give them the password to the encryption. And if you need money, there's a lot of accounts out there today. You can transfer your money instantaneously between your savings and your checking account. So when you actually need the money, it's there.
That's not
or we can
concept.
Just have governments not steal my shit without, you know, convicting me of a crime first.
Yeah, but if we get Hillary, that doesn't matter. She's going to take your money and then kill you.
Oh,
there have been, like, used car lots seized using civil forfeiture. No crimes ever, no charges ever brought against the owner, nothing.
Just yeah, but they deserved it. They were used cars lot. Used cars lot salesmen are sleazy.
So when are you going to use all your guns against tyranny here? I've got tears of fucking laughter coming down my cheeks.
I know, and this has been going on for two decades, a little over two decades. 1994 this law was passed.
I'm fucking choking back the laughter here. So
2004, 2014, 20 years, 22 years this has been going on.
You're laughing now, but it's coming to you too.
You already have something similar to civil forfeiture a lot do.
Nope, you cannot do it.
Well, they changed the laws and they can.
This was actually originally meant to go after the mob, and everyone's like, they're just using it on mobsters. Like, they're just using it on people. If you use it on people, are you a person? Then they can use it on you.
While we're in the Commonwealth, it can't happen.
Next article up is from the Calgary Herald. The University of Calgary paid a $20,000 ransom in untraceable bitcoins to shadowy hackers after a devastating malware attack. Linda Dalgetty, the school's vice president of finance and services, said the cyber attack that crippled multiple systems on May the 28th used so-called ransomware, which locks or encrypts computers and networks until a monetary ransom is paid. She said officials agreed to pay the ransom to ensure critical systems could not be restored. She said officials agreed to pay the ransom to ensure critical systems could be restored, but noted it will take some time for the university's IT staff to apply the encryption keys to the infected systems. What happens is you pay the ransom and the bad guys physically provide the keys, Dalgetty said Tuesday, noting that more than 100 computers were affected by the virus. At this point, we do have some encrypted machines. We have not used any of the decryption keys. Dalgetty said that the university IT teams have been working round the clock for more than a week trying to fix the bug that affected email, Skype, wireless networks, and other services. Users of university-issued computers were also advised to leave them off while under the threat from the hackers. In order to receive the keys, the school paid the equivalent of 20,000... Oh, CDN.
Oh, so like 20,000 pesos.
In Bitcoin. $1.50. A digital currency considered largely anonymous and untraceable. As of Wednesday, the price in Canadian dollars for one Bitcoin is $739.65.
Holy shit, really? Fuck, I need Canadian to sell dollars. My Bitcoins. I've been watching that. It's been creeping up there, man.
I turned my Bitcoins into gold. I'll get to that article in a minute.
But I just want to interject. I have a big problem with them keep calling Bitcoin untraceable.
Like, it is not
like the most traceable currency ever. It's just anonymous.
So, pretty much, basically, they're admitting they're paid it. They're trying to be transparent, and I mean, it's a school paid ransomware, and that means they had to buy $20,000 worth of Bitcoin, and then transfer it over to hackers. So. Gentlemen, this is why you purchase backup systems, and you regularly do so. I'm sorry. It's a university. I've ran one of those before. The network side. I've been involved.
Dean Morse.
What?
I ran a university. Dean Morse. It just rolls off the tongue.
This is a university of pure decking. You learn how to do it right. Anyways,
Oh, let's get that joke rolling again.
All about that joke. Thanks, Morps.
So I'm going to... Me and Donald Trump right there with our schools, right?
The Trump school is a great shell game. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Anyways. Oh, wait. Does that mean I got to comb my hair like that? I mean, I'm going bald, but...
No, just get Madman to shoot you something.
No, you just have to paint yourself orange.
Oh, okay.
As long as you charge $35,000 for a weekend seminar, I think you're good.
I'm better off going to Tony Robbins to tell me how beautiful I am for that money.
That's Trump University, man.
Mm-hmm.
But, anyways. So, the school paid the ransom. They did it in Bitcoin. And that means a large chunk of either the government money or students' tuition went to ransomware guys, which is actually sad. I would have rather seen them tell the ransomware guys to fuck off and restore their backups. But university networks are notoriously difficult to run. I understand where there might not be backups, but it can be done.
We had backups. We just backed up the ransomware.
Damn it!
But you know, like when you're talking about like the amount of data and man hours involved in generating all of that data, like $20,000 is probably a drop in the bucket compared to the amount of time.
They don't say what part of the organization was locked. If they got into their SAN, it very well may be cheaper to pay them than it is to get the SAN fixed.
But the problem is, like, you don't know if you're, like, you could pay them, but you have no guarantee you're ever going to be able to unlock those files. Like, yeah, I was reading, like there's a pretty large percentage of those ransomware setups out there where you don't ever get your files back, even if you pay.
Yeah, they just take the money and disappear.
Yeah.
And not only that, there's no guarantee they're sending you a working key.
Yeah.
So. Oh, anyways, Privacy SOS has the new law coming up, giving the FBI a bunch of powers. They got an article on that. We can talk about that, or we can skip it. And it's kind of no-duh stuff, and I'm pretty sure they're already doing it. It's more just legitimizing it. The FBI basically wants to exempt. They want access to internet records without a warrant. They want to be able to exempt biometrics database from Privacy Act. And I think
they already have that under prison.
Yeah.
I think
they just want to go public with it so they can actually start charging people.
If the FBI can't legally do it themselves, they get the British to do it for them and hand over their files.
That's not PRISM, that's Five Eyes.
Okay, there's so many of them now.
You know, like, at this point, we all pretty much just have to assume that they already have access to all of these records. I'm sure what they're doing here is really more just, like, trying to make it easier on themselves so they don't have to actually make the legitimate connection to the crime. You know, like, they can find the crimes.
There you go, Static. We're not fighting it or railing against it. We're just accepting it.
No, the only thing you've just got to watch is that you don't become a self-obsessed narcissist to think that they're actually looking at you. You know what
they're
I mean?
They're not looking at me. I just want them to get a fucking warrant. That's not a lot to ask. A warrant. Now, I understand with the internet, it's kind of hard to find which jurisdiction. So if they want to say any federal judge can issue a warrant for an internet-based company because they are crossing state lines, fine. The feds have that jurisdiction. It's not unreasonable. But it's still unreasonable to say, give us all of your information without us showing you a warrant.
Are you doing something that requires them to actually get a warrant to begin with?
If they're getting my information, then yes, I'm doing something that requires them to get a warrant.
No, you missed my question.
If they need their information, then if they need my information, they need a warrant.
You missed my question. Are you giving them cause to where they would need to get a warrant? Are you doing things that are wrong?
No, so they couldn't get a warrant. That's the problem. They're getting my information, and I haven't done anything for them to get a warrant to get my information.
He's asking if you're committing crimes.
He's actually using the if you don't have anything wrong or if you're not doing anything wrong you don't have anything to hide argument.
Yeah, come on, man, it's totally garbage. I haven't done anything for them to get the warrant, so they can't get the warrant, so they have no right to my shit.
Why is it garbage?
2016. Get with the program,
dude. Just it's a broken argument, man. It's
why.
Because it is, and you know it. You're only using it to bait everyone.
No, I'm seriously asking why you think that.
Well, I think that because they don't have a right to come into my
because
house.
Because you don't have an argument
right to go
for
through
it.
My life. I have to be at least reasonably suspect in a crime for them to come in and mess with my life.
So somebody says something and Swab, you can't actually carry a conversation. You just shut down.
Dude,
great.
I'm not turning this into a flame war, man. This is not what this show is
about.
Legitimately asked a question, though. Seriously.
Okay, hang on. Stop for a second here. Static, what? I missed it then. What was the question?
I was asking Madman, seriously, is he giving them something to look at? You know, is he committing a crime? If he's not committing a crime, what's it matter?
It matters for a lot of reasons. And you know that, man. You're just trolling.
No, I'm not.
There's a nice little book written in 1931 inside of a prison on how to coerce an entire people into doing whatever you want. Communist Manifesto is another great book to read. Rise and Fall of Rome is another really good one on a good subsection in there on why mass data collection on individuals for a harmonious society. A couple of hundred people were fed to lions for some reason, you know.
Okay, hang on.
So that whole idea, if you're not doing anything, what do you have to worry? Well, what if I'm just in a subsection of a community that needs to go away to make a harmonious society? That's my argument. What if they...
Let me flip that around a little bit here. You're talking about the nothing to hide art, which is... You know, I mean, there are governments that practice it. I mean, Britain's closed-circuit TV, I think they use that argument. But they don't... Do you care if they put a camera in your bathroom?
Well, they've got to look and see if I'm wearing a seatbelt on the toilet. I don't want to fall in.
So there's a free speech argument against the nothing to hide argument that if you believe that everything you say is being monitored, you will not speak your mind out of fear of persecution. And there's, you know, there's some evidence of that. I mean, it kind of goes both ways. You know, if you're a strong enough individual that you don't care that you're being monitored and recorded what you're saying, you know, hey, more power to you, right? But there is the concern that if you know you're being monitored, you're not going to question the government out of fear they'll black bag you, right? In China, you don't question the government, right? You'll be arrested for it, or at least, you know, barred from doing business. You'll have a hard time getting licenses and shit like that. So if you live in a society where they can just go into your computer ad nauseum, see what porn you're looking at, see what music you're listening to, see what games you're playing, you know, your usage of the internet may change.
And just because it's not happening now, you know your history to know your future. And I know we're really good at genocide.
And you might say, well, hell, I don't care if they know what I'm doing. I'm not going to change anything. Well, that's fine, but then what if you get somebody in power who has a vastly different idea of how people should live?
It's not just if we get someone in power. The IRS targeted groups that had opposing viewpoints to the administration in power. And because of their targeting, the president of the United States won a second term. We are literally living in a country where our government has already used data that it is not supposed to use for political means, and it measurably affected the outcome of the most important office that we vote for.
Well, we do have a lot of whim laws, so, you know, it's only illegal if they come after you for it. So, I mean...
Well, the big problem is the people that they went after, they didn't actually commit any crimes. But by going after them, they were able to prevent them from acting against Obama when he was being reelected and running ads to either support his opposition or to actually go after his opinions. They were able to keep people from participating in the electoral process and swing an election.
So we can sum this up very easily, actually. The answer to your question, Static, is we fear abuse of the system.
Well, not that I fear abuse of the system. If I fear abuse of the system, then his argument would be fine. And he would have a completely legitimate. It's that the system is actually being abused. We have innocent people being targeted.
Which means the fear is legitimate.
Yes. It's not that it's a paranoia. When I'm being tracked by Microsoft, that's paranoia. They haven't done anything to harm me. The government has actually targeted me in particular. Well, not me in particular. My ideology in particular. And it has been damaged because of it. Nixon tried to do this. Nixon did less and was impeached. Watergate was much, much less than the IRS scandal. And he was actually threatened to be impeached and was forced out of office. He resigned over it.
That's
the entire
when the press
2008
actually counted.
Election was swung because the IRS attacked groups that were attacking Democrats and the president in particular. This information has been used again. I don't want them to use any more information again. I don't want them to look at my reading list and put me on a terrorist watch list, because I am libertarian. If you look at Nancy Pelosi, she was in the House. Who was the head of Homeland Security? Kathleen Sebelius? Oh God, why can't I remember this?
I don't remember. Anyways, I don't want to get too down in the weeds of the politics. Zach, that kind of make the point for you.
Oh, I didn't want to run him off. He actually argues, and he does have some good points. But on this one, I just was impassioned.
All right. Well, let's see. Next up is an article from MarketWired.com. Ghostry has been granted a patent for privacy compliance technology.
Sounds terrible.
Yeah. Ghostry, a global technology leader empowering consumers. What the hell? Facebook successfully updated. I didn't install Facebook on my phone. What the fuck?
You did now.
Would you like to install Windows 10?
On an Android phone, yeah. No shit, right?
Wait, it's actually installing. No, stop.
Damn
I'm
it.
Actually thinking of clicking yes on that. I don't think it's as bad as I
put. Go run Anti-Beacon. It's fine. Let's see. Where I lost my track because my phone beeped and said the Facebook had been updated. I didn't even install Facebook. What the fuck? Must have wrote in on something. Today it has announced it received IP protection in the form of a U.S. patent for managing and monitoring digital advertising, the technology which powers the Ghostry privacy solution. Ghostry is the global privacy compliance technology pioneer. So anybody who doesn't know, Ghostry is a browser add-on that shows you tracking, some information on SSL, but mainly it's just looking for like the advertising trackers. Apparently they've patented this, so I don't know how you patent using a checklist to look for known advertiser tracking code, but they did. The patent is for invention 9361631, which analyzes the electronic content of web pages to identify elements that are related to targeting advertisements. It also provides users with a notice icon that can be clicked on to receive further information about the advertisement, including the network that serves the advertisement and its practices. Patent goes into effect on June 7th, so it is already in effect. I mean, Ghostry is a cool add-on and all. I don't know how I feel about them patenting that. That seems that seems like a problem to patent. We're looking for known URLs on a web page.
Yeah, like the you can't like patent analyzing data. Like that's not how
isn't
that
math?
Works.
I mean,
like
seems a little.
Like,
is it
something someone in that field would have
reasonably thought of?
Well,
yes.
The thing is, like, you could patent like a specific algorithm that you use to analyze data, and you can like do it, but you can't like make big broad generalizations. It's like, oh yeah, we've patented analyzing data. That's not how that works.
Now, is this just crappily written and they actually have a algorithm that they've patented?
Yeah, well, you know, like I a lot of patents don't hold up in court either, so
it's just interesting that I'm pretty sure there's prior art. I mean, AdBlock Plus has been around for a while too, so I don't know. I just the fact that they patented it is odd. I mean, I don't have any problems with Ghostry. I like their add-on. I just you know, it's odd to see it patented. Anybody have anything else on that before I move on to the EOBot story here? Because this is kind of fun.
Good.
All right. EOBot has, for anybody who doesn't know, I've talked about EOBot before. It's cloud-based Bitcoin mining. And something they support is automatically transferring mined Bitcoins or Litecoins or whatever you're mining, because it's got a couple of different options for S-Crypt as well as traditional Bitcoin mining. It can immediately transfer those into other cryptocurrencies or more cloud mining, and they've added a new option, gold. and we are talking about the actual metal. You can mine or buy gold, and then when you redeem it, they will actually ship gold bullion to you. Gold bullion can be redeemed as either 1 ounce or 1 gram bars. They've currently got it priced out as the ounce bar as one troy ounce, about $1,301, or 1 gram at $46. So I turned all mine off Bitcoin and onto gold because I think that's a better idea now.
I don't know. Gold's a bit more stable. If you mine Bitcoin and get it on the right bump, probably turn a bigger profit.
Well, maybe. But I'm more doing this for fun anyways. It's not like a serious investment. But it's just a fun concept. And it's like you're mining gold on the internet. Need to get a hat and overalls now, right?
Get a tray.
Pick. Yeah.
You get to go pan for gold.
Panning the routers for gold.
Panning the gold on the shores of the ARC.
It's almost as good as the guy mining platinum on the side of the highway.
Hey, man. They did the math. It's actually valuable ore on the side of the road.
Yeah. You know, once. How many years does it take to build that back up again?
Yeah.
And you've got to mine, what, I think it's over a ton of it?
Yeah, what part of the vehicle did they say the platinum was in? It was
catalytic converters.
And so why can't you just sneak into a scrapyard and steal all the catalytic converters?
That's what I was thinking.
Well, I'm pretty sure people stealing precious metals from scrapyards and vacant houses.
Yeah, I guess that's not a new thing. So.
But all right, let's move on to this. All right, last thing up I have for tonight in Digital Dojo is a browser add-on called Ad Nauseam. This is hilarious. There's a problem with it, and I'll explain that as we get into it, but it is hilarious. As online advertising becomes more automatic, universal, and unsanctioned, Ad Nauseam works to complete the cycle by automating all ad clicks universally and blindly on behalf of its users. Built on top of uBlock Origin, Ad Nauseam quietly clicks on every blocked ad, registering as a visit on the ad network databases. As the data gathered shows the onboard's clickstream, user profile, targeting, and surveillance becomes futile. So it's an ad blocker that clicks on every ad it blocks.
That is awesome.
Hey, that defeats the purpose for people not allowing ad-blocked computers onto their website.
Well, I mean, all the ads get clicked, which just destroys your analytics, right? But a lot of the advertising networks employ anti-botnet. So how many innocent website owners are going to get nailed for this thing? Because we're seeing RoboClicks, because I doubt this thing's even bothering to hide that it's RoboClicks.
But then again, if it's only one click per user...
Oh, no, it's every ad it blocks.
Fair enough, yeah.
So every time you reload a page, it's clicking every ad that it blocks?
Yeah, okay.
So
yeah,
I guess
the website's argument is they're losing ad revenue because you're not paying attention to our ads. Now we're paying attention to your ad. Your ad's automated. My response is automated. We're on equal footing.
Oh, you know what?
I love it.
Sometimes if you're doing a lot of rapid searches or something like that, Google will come up and be like, "Oh, are you a robot?" And make you enter the captcha.
In this case, yes. Yes, I am.
So I bet you there's going to be a ton of people, especially because so many of these ad networks are run by Google. I'm sure they're going to see, "Oh, look, this IP address is running like a bot." It's totally going to be interfering with your internet, just your searches and stuff like that. Maybe.
That or they'll just, flat out not count clicks from your system.
Yeah.
So, it's It's kind of goofy. I just love the concept. I don't know that I would actually run this full time. I've not installed it, so if it gives you like a toolbar where you can turn it on and off, that'd be cool. Because I don't think I'd want to run this all the time. You'd only really want to run this on a website that's like bothering you, or you know, you kind of want to screw with the ad trackers for it. You don't need to, you know, if you've got a website you like and you don't want the guy who runs it to get stuck with getting called a. Because I know this happens to people who rely on Google's AdSense. Google will come up and say, oh, we think you're using bots. We think you're robots. We think you've got clickers. We're just going to, you know, claim your profits this month and disable your AdSense account. And you can Google. There's been stories about that for years. So.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, you know, this might hurt small-time bloggers if a lot of people
started running
this.
You can just call Google Customer Care.
Oh, yeah, that's what wait. You for sure. But I do like the idea of screwing with their analytics, so.
Hi, I'm Baring. I was just fucking with your analytics.
So, that's all I got. Kind of goofy, but hey, whatever, right? So.
I think it's a great idea.
Didn't mean to run static off shit. Anyways,
I'm still here.
Oh, you just got drunk. Okay. I don't blame you. So, anyways, that's all I got. Anybody have anything they want to throw out before I play the Pac-Man sound and stop recording? I'll take your
silence. Buy my beer? Wait a minute, I need to make beer first.
I'll take your silence as a no.